you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts this morning. Acts chapter 6. Paul is on his second missionary journey here. He's picked up Timothy. He has Silas with him. And we're going to see in a little while he'll find Luke is along with him as well. But as we see in this chapter, Paul is going back and he's attending to those churches that he had once been to in Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. Of course, Lystra was where he was stoned and left for dead. And remember, he got back up and he went back into Lystra that same day, which is amazing in itself. But he's going back to talk to these churches to confirm some things that he learned in Jerusalem in chapter 15, where they talked about circumcision and the fact that they didn't need to be circumcised to be saved. There was a dissension between the Jewish believers and those that were Gentiles that, yes, salvation is of God and it's a free gift, but you have to be circumcised. God's covenant with Abraham. Well, that wasn't true. And Paul, actually Peter, did most of the speaking in that chapter. And he said, hey, look, I went to where God told me to go, and a man named Cornelius got saved. He didn't need to be circumcised. The Spirit fell upon him just like the rest of us. So that's where we're going to pick it up, is in chapter 16, where Paul is heading back and he's going back to these churches and, again, we're sharing with them. And we're going to see how God leads him. And this is important because each one of us who knows the Lord as our Savior, and we're born again, we have the Spirit of God that guides and directs us. And that Spirit is vibrant and alive. It's there, and it's there to lead us. You know, I believe, and we'll see as we get through this a little bit, that God has a perfect plan for each one of us. Problem is, if you're like me, so often I get misguided by my own desires, the direction that the world wants me to go, as well as the devil, who likes to tempt me and draw me away. But God tells us that we can trust Him and we can walk with Him. So I'm going to ask you to stand for the next few moments. We're going to read beginning verse 6. I'll read down through 15, and I'll ask you to follow along. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 is where I'll begin reading, and we'll go down through verse 15 this morning. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they came to Mysia, they assayed to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing through by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of that city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the things that you've given to us, that we might know your perfect will for our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us through the word of God, that we might trust you and by faith live this life you've called us to live. We ask you to go before this service this morning and speak to our hearts. And Father, that Spirit might speak expressly of the things that we need to look to and to attend to. We thank you again and we pray in your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we look at this chapter, we see again this is a direction that Paul is going to take, and we see that the Spirit leads. And that's so important for each one of us as we as Christians need to come to the understanding that as a Christian born again, that the Spirit indwells the believer and it leads us, it guides us, and it does it in different ways, and we're going to see that. But here, Paul is headed back. He's on his second missionary journey. He's checking out these churches, which I've already mentioned. So he's in the region of Galatia, and, of course, Phrygia. And Galatia is where Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra are. And these places that he's speaking of, some of them are towns and some of them are actually regions. Bithynia is a region north and a little bit east of Galatia. And so here he's going through and he's just following the Lord. God's called him to preach. And that's what he's doing. Everywhere he goes, he goes there and he speaks and teaches about the Word of God, about Jesus Christ, and trying to encourage people to trust Christ as their Savior. He's doing what God's called him to do. And he's going where in his heart and mind he thinks he's supposed to be going. But in verse 6, we see that God steps in through the Spirit and forbids him of doing what he's doing. He's doing a right thing. And in his heart and mind, he's going to the places that he's being led. But God is going to change his direction. And it's interesting when you see this, because sometimes we think that God changes my direction or God moves me to different places. Well, one of the things that we learn is that God has a plan for every one of us. We don't know what that is. He does. And he's always trying to guide us into that plan, always trying to put us back in that direction, always trying to lead us in the right place. So here we see Paul. And we see Timothy as well as Silas. And then, of course, we'll see in just a minute that he picks up Luke as well. But here he's following what God had told him to do and told all the disciples, us included, today in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that's a word play, if you will. You get the power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. When does the Holy Ghost come upon you? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's part of the baptism of the Spirit that occurred one time, which we partake in when we accept Christ as our Savior. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's exactly what Paul is doing. He's following what God has told him to do. He's got a call to be a witness to the Gentiles, we know, and he would one day speak to kings and governors and others, just like the Lord told him. But then all of a sudden, we see in verse 6, it says, "And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Well, that would be confusing to me. That would be scratching my head going, why can't I do this? What's going on here? Doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, I'm doing what God's called me to do. He's leading me to these different places, and I'm going along, and I'm just, everywhere I go, I'm telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to all the world. I'm doing what it says. In verse 7, it says, and that was in Asia. Again, he's talking about the region of Bithynia, which is up in the north. He says, "After they were come to Asia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." And the whole idea here is God is changing his direction from the human perspective. And I'm looking at this, and Paul is looking at this in his mind. He's saying, God is not allowing me to go here, but he is sending me here. He's changing my direction. The Spirit is speaking to him expressly, telling him that there's some other direction he should be going. And what might seem to you and I as a new direction, I believe was God's direction all along. See, God is omnipotent. He knows the past, present, and future. He has plans for each one of us. And nothing takes God by surprise. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. No matter what situation comes to your life, he already knows all about that. And our responsibility in this is that we trust God. We believe what he says. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So our responsibility is just to trust in God. Believe what he said. That's what Paul is doing. He's trusting in God. He's leading him to this position. He's going to all the world. He's preaching the gospel. And now God is saying, "Hey, through the Spirit, I forbid you to go there." So what's God's responsibility in this? Proverbs 37, 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Psalm 85, 13, "Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, we in all our wisdom, we trust God, and he leads us in the plan he has for us. I personally believe it's already ordained. We don't know that. We don't see that. I'm not God. I can't even think like God. I can't even perceive myself to say, well, this is something that God has changed. Well, my Bible says God doesn't change. And so I believe God has a plan already for us. It's laid out. The difficulty is we trusting God and being led by the Spirit to follow that plan, those steps he has ordered for us. And for me, I look at it from the same perspective as Paul would have looked at it, is that God is moving me somewhere else, or he's changing my plan. Notice I said my plan, because it wasn't his plan. And so as they were heading into this region, this Bithynia, to go preach the word of God, which is a good thing, the Spirit suffered them not. That word suffer means permitted. The Spirit said, no, this is not where I want you to go. And we know the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus promised that he would send to us. Specifically, he was speaking to his disciples. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What a thought to know that the Spirit of God, God himself, indwells the believer. That's what the Spirit is. It's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19, we're reminded, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has the same attributes as God. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read this morning in verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is omnipotent, all-powerful. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, it says, but quickened by the Spirit. That word quickened means made alive. He's omnipresent. In Psalm 139, 7 through 10, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The Holy Spirit's eternal. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So the Holy Spirit is what leads us and guides us. It's God in us. And that Spirit is important because we want it to be fresh. We want it to be quickened or alive. We want to be able to respond to it when it speaks to us, because the Spirit speaks. It speaks through the Word of God. It'll often speak through other folks that help us along as well, and sometimes even circumstances. Just as God, the Spirit has a mind, a will, emotion. Romans 8:27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit maketh intercession for us. When I don't even know what to pray, the Spirit is there and helping me to pray. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, he has will, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God has given each one of us a gift as well. It's called a spiritual gift, and that's through the Spirit of God. He's giving to us what he knows is going to help us be part of this body that we call the body of believers here, this assembly. that we might be able to fulfill the mission and the opportunities that God has set before us. We're not all exactly the same. We don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all have, all of us have the same mental capabilities. Mine are getting worse and worse every day. But also, the Spirit has emotion. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So as a Christian, as a Holy Spirit indwells a believer, we can actually grieve the Spirit. And when we're grieving the Spirit, we are disobeying God. We're not following the will of God. Because the Spirit is trying to speak to us and lead us where? In the steps that God has ordered for us. That's what the Spirit wants to do, is lead us in those steps. He's already got the plan laid out. We just don't know where it is because we're learning and we're trusting by faith. That's important, isn't it? Faith is one of those big words that we need to understand. It's believing without understanding everything. It's believing without knowing what the future is going to hold. How many times have you planned something and those plans didn't work out? How many times have you planned something, those plans didn't work out because God changed or what seemingly changed your direction? Every one of us have experienced that. When I got saved, God changed my life completely. He took me from what I wanted to do and moved me into what He wanted to do. Did I get it all at once? No. Am I still got it? No. I'm still working on it. Because I don't know what the next day is going to bring forth. I don't know what that next step is necessarily. I just have to trust God and believe that He has a plan for me. And I need to be sensitive to His Spirit. And so I need to understand what that is. And the only way is by being sensitive to the Spirit. The Spirit works in a believer's life. He seals the believer, we've already mentioned. And that when that sealing, that means that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you believe with all your heart that Jesus died, that He was buried, that He rose again, and He lives today, and He died and shed His blood for your sins. If you can believe that with all your heart, you can call on the Lord and be saved. And when that happens, there is a change. The Spirit indwells the believer. Now, you may not even understand all that at that time. I still don't, but it happens. And it does change your mindset. It starts changing your life. It changes the way you look at things. And He guides us. And He does it through the Word of God. We know that in the Old Testament, in 2 Peter 1:21, says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the words of the Old Testament were given to us by the Spirit of God. The New Testament, John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Again, speaking to the disciples, they pen the words that God has given to them. And so what we have today is a Spirit-written Word of God. It's God's Word, and it's for us to understand. And we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? He gives us spiritual gifts, I've mentioned already. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Hold your place here. We'll come back. But go to Romans, if you would, chapter 8 for just a second. As a reminder, look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Trying to understand the Spirit of God and how He directs. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as Paul's writing, he's talking about the victory we have in Christ. And verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So that is a prerequisite of being a child of God. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Prerequisite is to be a child of God is to have the Spirit of God, and that happens instantaneously when you accept Christ as your Savior. You have the Spirit of God. You're a child of God. And you start learning what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. In verse 15 it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a Father in heaven. And it is not like some people believe. There are religions that believe you need to go to an intermediate, like a priest or someone else, to get a hold of God. Now, there are times in your life you might get so low you need some help. We all do. And it's good to go to somebody that is close to God to help us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that person is not the intercessor. You can go directly to God just like that. Right this moment, you can be praying to God this very second. That's a wonderful thought as well. And then verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So that Spirit beareth witness. As you're reading the Word of God, you're hearing the Word of God, these things should have an effect. One of them should be, amen, praise God. The other might be, oh me, I need to do something about this. Because a word does not return void. It is going to accomplish what God set it to do. And those with the Spirit of God living in them, as the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God, or read, the Spirit of God is there trying to guide and direct us and to lead us. We can quench the Spirit, kind of turn it off, right? Just shut her down. And we don't want to do that. We want it to be quick, or quickened, alive in our lives. And as we walk in this life, we have a choice. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul used an example of wine. Now, I know most of you, especially adults, not that you've ever experienced this, I could say I have, but you know that when you take a foreign substance and you ingest it in your body, especially something like alcohol or other things, drugs, it can alter your thinking and alter the way you behave. You can be controlled by substance that you shouldn't be controlled by. Well, he's using that as a comparison to help us understand what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. That same thing is that substance controls us and has us say things we would never say or do things we would never do in our right mind. When we have the Spirit of God, we no longer follow our own thoughts, but now we let the Spirit lead us. And he says that in Ephesians 5:18, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a continuous action. We continually seek the Lord. We continually trust the Lord. We continually ask him to guide and direct us. We continually trust him for what he's doing today, moment by moment, minute by minute. We ask him to help us to know what his will is for us, what his direction is for us. Paul was in the very same situation. His heart was, I'm going to follow God no matter what. No matter where he leads. What if Paul would have said, God, I'm preaching the Word of God, and I'm going to Bithynia, because that's where I'm heading. That's my direction. That's the road I'm on today, and I'm going to just keep going. It probably wouldn't have turned out the way it did. Because God had a specific reason to change his direction. Just like he has for us, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God uses the Spirit to guide the believer. And again, it comes through the Word of God. Reading the Word of God brings the Spirit of God into action and shows us how to live and how we're supposed to react to the things of God and to the world. You know, we have lost the idea that the world is really evil. Now, we can say those things, but we don't always act that way because we take so much of the world in. But it is evil. Why? Because the god of this world is who? The devil himself. It's Satan. It also, the Spirit works through other believers. They come alongside and help us, encourage us through the Word of God again. And it comes through sometimes the circumstances of life. God would say, stop. This is not the door you should be walking through. And if you're like me, you get the axe out, and what do? You knock it down because you got to go anyway. Stubborn sometimes. I've experienced this many times in my life. In fact, when I first got out of Bible college, when I was in Bible college, I thought, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. but I don't want to go to New England, and I don't want to go to Florida. Now, I don't know, I just didn't want those two places. And New England's a lot of area, you know. I didn't want to go, I'm from the South most of my life, although I did live in Newfoundland for a little while. But anyway, so through that last class I took, the class on pneumatology, or the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, I realized that I cannot limit God on what he wants to do. Because when I do that, I tie not only my hands, but his hands. Because he's already got steps ordered for me, and if I say I'm not going to do this, then I've just said, God, I don't care what you say, this is what I'm doing. And so I released that, I let that go, and said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you in this thing. I'd already had ideas about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go, and I was signing some paperwork, trying to figure out how I could get out to the Midwest or West of the United States. I always wanted to go out there, thought it'd be great to serve the Lord and ride horses. Not that I'm much of a cowboy by any chance, but that was something I always dreamed of or thought about. And through all of that, the Lord gave me an opportunity to go to Florida first. And I told the Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere you want. So he sent me to Florida to this little church there. It was a bar that they had renovated and made into a church. And they called, and I said, yeah, we'll come, and we came. And they voted us in and said, you're 100% voted in. We want you to come be our pastor. I said, okay, sounds great. He said, but we can't pay you nothing. I said, whoa, this is going to be difficult. But I said, okay, that's fine. So I started looking for jobs. I went down there several times. We went to the unemployment office, could not find anything. And after about 2 months, they called me, and we started talking about it. I said, look, you know, because they wanted to get a pastor. I said, well, you know, obviously the Lord is not allowing me to come right now, so go ahead. If you want to seek somebody else, go ahead and do that. And basically what the Lord did was he shut the door on that. Hallelujah! Was I happy? But because I was willing to go anywhere. And then I had another opportunity in another place, which happened to be New England. It wasn't here. It was in, where was it at? New Hampshire. And so we went. And we were going to go no matter what they offered for pay or whatever. Felt like we'd go. And actually, that's when Greg called me. While I was in that process, and I told him, says, I've already got something I'm looking at, and I'm not going to look at anything else. And so through that, they came back and says, no, that the vote was 78%. They need a 95% or 90% vote. And I said, okay, well, all right, Lord. And then I remembered an email I got from Greg, and I sent him an email. And we met, and as the Lord led, we ended up here. And again, this is not my choice, okay? It's God's choice. But it has become my choice in the fact that I want to be where God wants me to be. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so that's the same thing here as Paul is looking at this situation that God is telling him through the Spirit of God that I've got another place for you to go. I want you to walk in the steps I have ordered for you. Verse 9 in Acts chapter 16, excuse me, in verse 8 it tells us that he went by Mysia and came down to Troas. And in verse 9 it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, I don't think visions happen too often anymore. I think our instructions come from the Word of God. Remember, this book was not written then, nor was any other part of the Bible in the New Testament. He had nothing other than what Jesus taught him. So, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, that is, entreated him or invited him to come near, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. What an interesting idea. We see the Spirit is speaking, and he's speaking in this particular case through a vision. Today, I believe, like I say, the Word of God, as I study this, the Spirit speaks and relays to me the steps that God has for me. There is a general path for each one of us. But there's also a specific path. And that's what we're searching for. Where is that specific path? What are we supposed to be doing in the realm of what we call Christianity as a Christian, a born-again believer with the Spirit of God that indwells us? What is God calling us to do? In this case, God called him for a reason, like he always does. And be sure of this. God always directs us for a reason. Even when we mess up, he can fix it. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them whom are called according to his purpose. His purpose is what? To seek and to save that which is lost. So Paul obeyed God. It says in verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately, and then I want you to notice the word we, just the byway. All of a sudden, the writer of the book of Acts is joining the group, or at least making known that he's with the group. Before it was they, now it is we. Who is that we? We know who wrote the book of Acts. It's Luke. Luke the physician has joined with Paul and Silas and Timothy. He said, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. God had redirected in Paul's mind, I personally believe those are the steps Paul would, if he could see the road map, if he could talk to God specifically, say, God, show me the map of my life. I believe God would have said, here it is. You're going to Macedonia. I think that's really true. I believe God knows that much about us and who we are, and what his plan is for us. I just wish he would share it quicker. We could actually see it on paper. But part of all of that is the faith aspect. God wants us to believe and trust him by faith. If he showed us everything, we'd know what to do. But he's wanting us to learn to trust him, love him with all our heart, with our mind and soul. So here they go. And they endeavored. They wanted to get there. They immediately took off. And so here they are in Asia. Troas is here. Bithynia is up here somewhere, the region. They're here. Well, they got to go across to go to Samothracia. It's over in the Greece area. And so they take a ship and they go to Samothracia. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Neapolis is just north of Samothracia on the coast. So whether they took a ship or whether they walked, we don't know, but they went directly to Neapolis. Why? Because about 50 miles inland was Philippi. Look how specific God's will is. He's leading him to a specific place. He's not hanging around these places. It said the next day to Neapolis. So he probably spent the night in Samothracia. And then he went to Neapolis the next day. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. So they've been there a few days. Now, Paul is doing what Paul does. He's telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, I wouldn't doubt if he was on the ship there when he was going along, he probably told the folks there about Jesus. Everybody he came in contact, he probably talked about Jesus. That was his calling. He was a missionary. And so here he is. He's made it to the place of Philippi, allowing God to direct him to that position or that place. In verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside. I can almost guarantee you, I don't know, it doesn't tell us this, but so often on the Sabbath, where'd Paul go? He usually went to the synagogues, if there was a synagogue there. But nonetheless, that afternoon, he said, he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. So somebody was wanting them to pray, and of course he probably wanted to pray, maybe get along by himself or with his group of men. It says, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So here they're by the riverside, there's some women there, and so he's speaking to the group of women, however many there were. And then it says, a certain woman, look how specific God's plan is, named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. She's doing her laundry probably or whatever she's doing there, and she's listening and she's hearing the word of God that Paul is preaching. He's probably sharing that Jesus came, that he lived on this earth for those 33 years, that he went to the cross and he died specifically for every individual, shedding his blood on the cross. He probably went through the whole gospel message, sitting there talking to this person. This person may have been a Jewish proselyte, we have no idea, but this person was somebody who worshiped God, similar to Cornelius. She heard, in verse, it continues, says, whose heart the Lord opened. Before you can ever receive Christ as your Savior, you have to open your heart to God. And everybody in this room that knows Christ has done that. That she attended unto the things were spoken of. In other words, that word attended means she paid attention. How often have I been in a church service and not paid attention? I don't even count the number of times. She paid attention unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And then verse 15, we know she got saved because then it says, and when she was baptized and her whole household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Paul, through the Spirit of God, was being led, being directed in the steps that God had ordered for him already for a purpose. And that purpose is always that we may be in the position or a place where we can talk about our Lord. Why is that important? Because if Christians don't talk about Jesus, who will? The world, the only time they mention Jesus is usually in a cuss word situation. They don't believe there's a God anymore. They've been trained that. For at least a generation now, and probably two, the kids coming out of school have no idea that there is a God. So this morning, as we think about these things, we need to ask ourselves, God has always used humans to carry the message or to do the work. We know that the idea is first we must be willing. Humble. What's that word humble mean? It means to bow down to God. That means that we got to get off the pedestal of our lives thinking this is what I want to do, or God says go in the world and preach the gospel. That's great. But we also want to make sure that world is where God wants us to go. What part of that world? You can't go everywhere. But he has a place for you to go. He has a place for me to go. It could be here. If the Spirit has taught you through the Word of God as you continue listening, he says, you're here for a purpose. And there are reasons for that. Circumstances of life also dictate. Sometimes we're called at a young age. We don't go. We get stuck because we can't go. Life passes us by. And we no longer have the time or able to be prepared to do what God calls us to do. And we get stuck. That happens. A lot of people. You remember as far as back as in the Old Testament, in Exodus, God used Moses. Moses, who was a very smart guy. For 40 years, he was in Pharaoh's court. But the next 40 years, he was on the backside of the desert, humbly tending sheep, and God called him. And Moses was willing to go, although he put up a little fight. In the end, he went. We remember a poor boy that was the least in his family was threshing wheat. And the Midianites were taking everything they could get away from Israel. And God called him that day. His name was Gideon, to do work for God. God took a little shepherd boy out in the field, had him anointed to be king, and the next thing we hear of that man, he's saying, is there not a cause? Why? He's willing to be used of God. A humble little boy. Peter, he saw those three sheets coming down. He saw all those unclean animals on that sheet, I guess it's the same sheet, that God had put in that vision. Remember, it was about noontime. He's on the top of the roof. He's hungry. famished probably, seeing this sheet in a dream. And God, he says, it's unclean. And God said, don't call that which I have cleaned unclean. And he got Peter's attention. And for the first time, we see Peter, being led by the Spirit of God, went and met with Cornelius, who worshiped God but didn't know Jesus. Basically, probably crying out for God to send somebody to show me something. Help me, God. And he sent Peter. He was saved and his house was saved. Just like Lydia. As Paul listened to God and was directed by God. See how specific the will of God is? It is so specific that God already has the steps. Our responsibility is by faith to trust. Trust God in those steps, allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God and not by the emotions, not by the wisdom of man, but by surrender to God and allow Him to put us on those steps, to walk the path that He has ordered for us. It's not just by happenstance that we walk around and say, well, I'm following God, but never listening to God, never obeying God's word, never looking or searching in God's word. It's impossible to know God's will apart from that, because it comes through the word of God. And the Spirit guides us in that and shows us that. That's why he tells us we're to search the scripture. And when we search the scripture, we're to confirm things or know that things are true by comparing scripture with scripture. How important that is. This morning, the question is, as Paul and Peter and many other people, I just mentioned a few, have surrendered their lives to follow the Lord, has God spoke to you about doing something else? Is God speaking to you this morning through the Spirit? Is there something that's on your heart and your life that you're saying, wow, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to be doing something else? We should always have that mindset, because why? I want to, by faith, find the steps that God has ordered for me. He's got them. They're there. And I just need to find out where they're at. And I do that by trusting Him. When I trust the Lord with all my heart, what does He do? He will guide me in the paths that He wants me to be in. And I know this morning that everybody in this room, a born-again Christian, wants to be in the will of God. And so what we have to do is learn to let ourselves go from our own thoughts, what we want to do, how we want to live, where we want to go. Before I got saved, I wanted to be a notice I didn't want to be the president, but I wanted to be the vice president of a company I worked for. I just never thought I could be a president of anything, but I thought maybe the vice president, if I worked hard enough, long enough, maybe I can work my way up the ladder. And that was my thought process. And then I got saved and no longer did I care. I really didn't care about what I was doing anymore. And he just changed my direction. And it took a long time. I mean, I didn't do it immediately. Got saved and it was 4 years later before I ever really got to a Bible college, but the thing is, I was busy those years. I was continually trying to serve the Lord. I was continually trying to do what God was teaching, that we are to be a witness where we're at first, and then allow God to move us to where He wants us to go. And that's what He'll do. If we obey Him today, He will show us the next step for tomorrow, is trusting Him. Paul said it in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's given us all that we need when we put our faith and trust in Jesus to find out the steps that He has ordered for us. Let the Spirit speak and then answer. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for all the folks in the Word of God that show us the plan that you had for them. Knowing again, many of them, just like we, struggle. We don't always do what we should do immediately. We try to find our own direction. We try to do our own thing. And yes, even in the guise of serving God. Father, I pray this morning you would allow, or we would allow each one of us, the Spirit to speak to us.